And boy, I've got more to say on it, but it could end up being a sermon. But I want to share the sermon today. And this series, I'm calling it this because I want you to see that it's true for you, is that Jesus paid the price on the cross to reverse the curse. And that we get to practice what Jesus has done on the cross. We get to apply it to our life by grace because he provided it on the cross. By faith, we get to experience and we get to practice the reverse of the curse in our life in this journey. Do you understand that? Well, I hope in a few weeks you will. But we get to reverse the curse. Now, look, I'm talking quite a bit about healing, and I'm doing this on purpose because we've just started a series that God wants you well in our home groups and in our Bible study on Sunday morning. We're going through it as a church. Why? Because I really believe the Lord's imprinted on my heart, not just a sermon, but an assignment, that, you know, he wants our church to walk in greater divine health. Okay? And so I want to tell you something. You say, well, I've already heard about this. Well, I want to tell you, we need to go through it again. And we need to focus on Jesus, the healer, in the Word. And we need to, for that Word to be engrafted in our heart. And you say, well, I don't need that right now. Well, you very well may need it in the near future. I'm not speaking anything on you. But I'm saying we live in a fallen world. When Adam fell, there was a divine sentence that came upon the earth. And part of that divine sentence was sickness. There was no sickness before he fell. Part of that divine sickness, part of that divine sentence was poverty. Part of that divine sentence was disturbance and disruption in the soul. Now, I want to tell you something. When Jesus paid the price on the cross, the Bible's clear that all of our curses were placed on him. And so Jesus paid for it. We get to practice by those promises, by those facts of the cross, we get to practice receiving what he provided for. It has to be applied. It has to be personally appropriated. It has to be applied. It has to be believed. It's not by our works that we get goody-goody two-shoes enough to deserve to have it. No, no, no. It's only by grace. None of us deserve it. He paid the price. We get to receive it freely by grace, but it's got to be applied by faith. Everything in the spiritual realm that we receive is by faith, not by works. It's by faith. And so faith is the way of operating. It's been provided by grace. And so even though I'm referring to sickness a number of times in this series, it's not just about sickness, okay? It's about poverty too. Because I want to tell you, he paid the price on the cross for your provision. Okay? Man, that's good. He paid the price on the cross for your peace. And that's why that we can say bold things like peace is your birthright. Jesus paid for it. You accepted Jesus. Man, you have a right to his peace. That's what he said. I've given you my peace. But it has to be applied by faith. And I want to tell you, I'm so excited about you because even though I've had some other people in other places say, you know, you cannot believe that. Well, don't tell me what I can believe. Okay? What you believe for your bunch. But I want to tell you, God's put it on my heart. Let's believe God for more. You say, well, I'm in a pretty good place. Well, I want to tell you, what we believe is not just for us, it's for others. I want to tell you, I don't know if you noticed, but we got a sick world out there, man. Can I announce something to you? The world's getting sicker and sicker. The world's getting darker and darker. That don't scare me. Don't be scared, the Bible says. Well, it says it in better ways than that, but don't be scared. But I want to tell you what it says, is that the light of God is stronger. It's coming upon us, in us, through us. And the light of his glory is greater in the last days. In dark days, his light shows bright. And his light is greater than any form, any name of darkness. Is that great news? And so even though the world's get darker and darker, we have divine light. We've got him. We have the advantage. Boy, I'm so glad you're excited about this. Okay, well, here we go. This is why that I make statements that just kind of, I want to shake people into believing more. But I make statements like this. If you settle for poverty, you will. It's a mindset. If you settle for being disturbed in your heart and in your soul, you will. Because I want to tell you something. The enemy's out there to steal your peace. He wants to steal your health. Now, I'm going to say a few things that might shake you a little bit, but I'm just trying to get you on board the train. So I may circle a little bit, a few times. But it goes like this. If you're not healthy, you can't minister. Not like you could. Not like you should. Okay? I'll say a few more things in coming days just to give you an opportunity to think on this. But I want to tell you something. You need to be free, not a slave in your finances, not a slave to debt, not a slave to poverty, not a slave to sickness, not a slave to disturbance in the mind or in the heart. You need to be free to minister the freedom of Jesus Christ. Now, do we wait till we're completely free till we minister? No, 1,000 times no. Because I want to tell you, it's a process and it's a journey. When I say it's a journey, it's something to walk in. But I want to tell you, the more we walk with Jesus, the freer we get. That's Jesus factor. Okay? And so I'm excited about you. I'm announcing to you, let's just believe God for more. And the principles for receiving healing by grace through faith is the same way we receive restoration. He's the God of restoration. I have no doubt that because I know you well, and those that I'm speaking to over the media, thank you for joining us, but I know you too. And it goes like this, is that the enemy has a way of stealing avenues out of our life, stealing chapters out of our life. Well, don't be dismayed. Don't think it's a forever deal, because I'm announcing to you that whatever the enemy has stolen, the Lord wants to restore to the plus side. 120% more is the picture in Scripture. And I want to tell you, if it's 120% better, it's better than it started. And so he's the God of restoration. And so don't mark that chapter out of your life and say, well, it's done forever, because that's what the enemy wants you to believe. He don't want you to believe for more. He don't want you to believe for restoration. I want to tell you, he's the God of deliverance. The same principles that we're covering about this applies to deliverance too. Man, is there a need for deliverance? You better believe it. Sometimes, and I'm not saying every sickness, because we live in a fallen world, and sometimes it has to do with the fallen world of germs, you know. Okay, the fallen world of a virus. But I'm also announcing to you that you got to have an understanding that some sickness is very dark spiritual based. It's darkness based. And if that wasn't the case, then it wouldn't have been described in Jesus that a lot of times when he healed, he cast out and told the spirit of infirmity to leave. And so I'm also know, and I'm not saying everyone, but I also know that there are some sicknesses. And it may be more the mystery ones, I don't know, but I don't know everything. I'm just a learner. But I'm announcing to you that some sicknesses are spiritual darkness based. There's a spirit behind them, a spirit of infirmity. And so, you know what that? Hey, the Lord is our rescue. He wants to deliver us. The Lord is our divine protection. We don't have to walk around scared. We don't have to walk around as germophobias. Because I want to tell you, he's our divine protection. I'm not saying being foolish. I'm saying we walk in wisdom. Okay, as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But wisdom comes from God and not necessarily medical education. I'm just saying. Okay, it's more important that you get a word from God. And the word from God may very well say, wash your hands on a regular basis. Okay, don't eat that. Okay, but you know what? If you're walking with the Lord, then you know what? You're listening to His voice. And I want to tell you what happens when we simply walk with the Lord. He always leads us into triumph. You know what? That's victory. And whatever arena we're talking about, okay, He leads us into victory. But He is our divine protection, and that's a 360-degree shield that He's described at. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. You know what? He's provided wholeness for us. That's what shalom means. You know, when you hear, if you're around any Hebrew, any Jewish, Messianic Jews, whatever kind of Jews, you know, shalom, shalom. And you know, that word is so powerful. And it means wellness to the max, wholeness to the max. Now that can it applies, when you all look it up, it applies to protection, it applies to provision, it applies to your health. Does that kind of sound like salvation to you? Because that's the same description that Sozo presents. It's not just a ticket to heaven. Now what I have a little problem with, and I minister in some of those churches, and I don't go in, by the way, and blast them with the Bible. I go in and take where they are and love on them right where they are and present Jesus to them and point them to Jesus and point them to the Bible. I don't go in and blast them away. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of churches and even denominations that's only presented one part of the finished works, your ticket to heaven. Now, by and large, I want to tell you, we celebrate everlasting life. Everlasting life. I'm telling you, it's the center of the wheel. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of spokes that come out of that, the word salvation. And part of it is, you know what? Wholeness, wellness, provision, health, healing, protection. I want to tell you, it's all inclusive. It's not just a ticket to heaven. And so I want to tell you, it's a whole lot more than that. And so that's a part of the exciting life that we get to walk in. We want to get to know abundant living. Okay, everlasting life doesn't just start when you get to heaven. It's abundant living in the now. It's abundant life. You know what? It's a victory life. We don't have to live a defeated life from here to heaven. Well, one of these days, when I get to heaven, in the sweet by and by, one of these days. Well, no, I love those old songs too, but you know what? They're not Bible correct in a lot of them, because I want to tell you something. You know, when we get to heaven, when we see, well, He's here now. He's here now. And so I'm just asking you a question. Would you like to be sick less often? I'm not talking about perfection. You're looking at somebody who doesn't walk in perfection, all right? Or I wouldn't need to lose as much weight as I need to lose. I wouldn't be on the medication I'm on if I was walking in perfection. It's not perfection. I want to tell you what I've told you over and over again. Look at Jesus. Don't look at Tim. I'm not your model. You know what? I'm not your measure. Jesus is.
That's right.
And so don't stare at me, because you'll get disappointed or offended. But I want to tell you, put your focus on Jesus, because He's your measure. He's your real shepherd. I'm just an under shepherd trying to help out. But He's your real shepherd. But would you like to be sick less often? When you do get sick, would you like to be sick for a shorter period of time? Would you like to recover faster? Hey, I want to tell you something. Even if you're not, it's like I had one pastor said, and this is honest report. He said, I don't really want to hear that. And I said, well, do you need to be restored in any area or healed in any area? He said, hey, I don't need healing. I'm on blood pressure medication. I don't need healing. I said, okay. Because whatever you settle for is what you're going to walk in. And I want to tell you, when you focus on Jesus, hey, and no condemnation to anybody else, but when you focus on Jesus, it expands your sensitivity to a greater measure of what He wants, because your focus is on Him. And so our part of our journey is that it's not just about you. part of the kingdom, part of the family of God, part of the purpose of Jesus is for us to come alongside one another. All right? That's why I encourage you to get here early on Sundays. Okay? Come for fellowship. I love to see you hugging on one another, greeting one another. I don't jump in on that before the service because, you know, I'm trying to focus. All right, but I want to tell you something. It's beautiful to see the saints love on one another and greet one another. And if the praise and worship has started, don't do it then. I'm just trying to help you. Hey, that's about loving on Jesus. Okay, you can love on each other before the service, after the service. Wait. You can love on each other all week long. God's giving you technology to do that. But I want to tell you something. Once the praise and worship starts, hey, you come in, and if you happen to come in late, on a rare occasion, but you happen to come in late, you know what? You respect that the body of Christ is loving on the head, loving on Jesus. And you don't go around interrupting and disturbing. No, there's not time for that right then. That's inappropriate. Don't do it during the sermon. Please don't do it during the sermon. And I want to tell you, I used to get on to people for sleeping, but I'm at the place in my life right now. If you taking a nap, just don't snore. You know, be at peace and don't disturb anybody else. Okay, I hope you know what I'm saying. But our part is to agree with the Bible. He is love. I'm telling you, He's pure love. And if we as, and Jesus said, if we as humans know how to provide good things for our kids and not be cruel and mean to them, what about the Heavenly Father, the great, great Father? It's all the more. And so He's love, He's light, He's life abundantly. Jesus said in John 10:10, it's the thief, it's not God. A lot of people are blaming God for what the thief does. That's what a liar does. I want to tell you what a liar does is that, you know what? Hey, a liar will blame somebody else for what he's doing. That's condemnation, manipulation. It's a shame blame game. Jesus don't play that. That's the enemy that plays that. The thief only comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you've had theft in your life, if you've had death in your life, if you've had destruction in your life, don't blame God. I have to say that because religion does. Insurance company does too, but religion does. He said, this is what Jesus said, and this is the purpose of the Lord for your life, for our church, for your family. I've come that Freedom Life Fellowship, all those listening in, to have personally and enjoy life. The God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life, not just survival. Is thriving, and have it to abundance. Do you see that? To the full, till it overflows. Now, what are you more aware of in your life? Are you more aware of abundant life? Are you more aware of survival? Are you more aware of the overflow, abundant life of Jesus, or the theft of the enemy, the disturbance of the enemy, the deception of the enemy? Are you with me? Okay, it's just a good question. Because if we confess our needs, He's there. If you recognize your need and come to Him, He's on. It's on, my friend. Okay? And so that's good news. Not everyone receives. And so I have some leadership that will tell me, well, you know, we tried that. You know, we prayed for somebody and it, you know, they didn't get well and, you know, they didn't see any relief and it got worse and everybody was feeling guilty about it and everybody was saying, well, what about? And so we just figure it's best just to leave that alone. I want to tell you, you drank some Kool-Aid from the enemy, if that's your idea. Not everybody receives. I want to tell you, I shared with some of the folk just a couple weeks ago, I got to lead an 80-something-year-old grandpa to Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Not everybody I talk to about Jesus accepts Jesus. Does that mean I should quit evangelizing?
No.
Does that mean I should, it was rejection, you know, and it kind of hurt their feelings, and it was uncomfortable, and you know, I didn't feel good, they didn't feel good, and it wasn't a positive situation, so maybe I just shouldn't approach that subject anymore.
No.
Thank you for then I'm getting to preach at the right church. Okay? I want to tell you something. You know what I do? I do. Batter up. Next. I want to tell you, they tell us in ball, told us over and over again, if you mess up on a play, don't let that play hinder the next play. Boy, that sounds familiar, don't it, Coach? Do you understand that? Not everybody receives. Jesus paid the price for the salvation for the whole world. But the whole world doesn't receive. Does that mean we're to quit? No. We say, down, sit, hut. And we leave the line of scrimmage to go for a touchdown on the next play. Because he's our purpose. It's for him, not about, oh, I might feel rejected. No, it's about him. That's what love does. Okay, love does that. I want to tell you, the DFW area, 8 million people. I want to let that sink in a minute. 8 million people. Think about the blood that he shed. Think about the price that he paid. Think about how wonderful it is to know Jesus. Think about everlasting life. Think about abundant life. And you think there's any way that we ought to have the idea, our four and no more? What? I want to listen. Listen, if we have that mindset, we're going against the heartbeat of the kingdom of God. And I just want to say to you, I was preaching at a church when I was a youngin, a teenager preaching at a church, and it wasn't because of me, it was just Jesus. But revival broke out at this church. And I'm just going to announce to you, the church doubled in 1 week's time. It was amazing. The pastor asked me to stay another week. I couldn't do it. I was already scheduled. I went, but you know what? The next week I had open, I came back, and we had another week. And the church was growing. Boy, there was a lot of joy, a lot of excitement, a lot of people being saved. There's so many people being baptized. And it was just a move of God. And I'll never forget sitting there, and the place is packed out, and the pastor stands up and tells the church, look, move of God like this, I want to tell you, we're going to need to expand. We can't take in all the people. We're going to need to expand. And I'll never forget, because I remember his name. This was like from 1979. I remember the man's name, the deacon that stood up and said, I'll tell you one thing. We ain't going to start no building program because of an emotional experience. And if we'll just wait a little while, everything will get back to normal. But I'm not for having a church got everybody going everywhere and doing everything and all that it takes to make that happen. And I want to announce something to you. The church didn't progress. I want to announce something to you. Just a couple months later, when I checked with the pastor, it was like this guy stood up and gave a dark prophecy. And you know what? Things were back to normal. Subnormal. Now I want to tell you something. You rise or fall by your leadership. This is why I can thank God for your leadership team. Man, they were at my house Friday night. I want to tell you, they bless me. I love them. You have an amazing leadership team. And so I want to tell you something. I'm thankful for them because you know what? They're willing to believe God for more. They're willing to believe God for His best. I want to tell you, join hands and let's agree with the Lord about His best for our church. Now, whatever that is, let's agree. Whatever that is, let's move forward and let's believe God for more. Because that's His heart, that's His heartbeat. I want to tell you, God's done some amazing miracles in people's lives right here. I want to tell you, there's people just like you in a worst case scenario right outside that need what you got. And so that's why that we must bring them in. It's to Jesus. Brother Tim, you just want the seats filled so you can. No, it don't have anything. I'm not looking for any more notches on my gun. It's not about that. Every seat that's got a seat in it, I'm trying to say this real sweet. every seat that's got a seat in it has got a heart. And the Lord says, bring me your hearts. Amen. He wants the hearts. Okay, amen, Brother Tim. Not everyone receives. But I want to tell you, it's very, very important that God's desire, let our focus be the direction toward the Lord, not our perfection. Not everybody, anybody here is an expert. As a matter of fact, when an expert comes, I encourage him to be quiet. Okay, that's part of my role. But I want to tell you, we want to all be learners. And I want to just announce something to you. Don't jump on the world bandwagon or religion bandwagon of blaming God for something that doesn't work out to your idea of what's best. You know what? He's pure love. When you blame God, you shut the door for His best. Because I want to tell you what happens when you blame God. You reach up and hold hands with unbelief. You say, well, I just don't understand. Well, welcome to the human race. Because His ways are way higher than our ways. And not every time do I get up to bat, do I get a hit. You've seen me strike out right here. You've seen me miss right here. But I want to tell you something. You know what? In an atmosphere of love and acceptance, even when you miss, even when you fall, you know what? We're going to help you back up. We're going to point you to Jesus and let's go. You know what? That's what family does. That's what the body of Christ does. And so when I ask you, you know, when somebody says, well, why isn't everyone healed? I don't know. There's probably many reasons. And I say that because there was a very well-known man of God that I was friends with years ago. And he's in heaven. But I want to tell you, at one time in his life, he got very, very sick and he was in the hospital. And he was a healing minister. Okay, I'm not going to tell you his name because many of you would recognize it. But he called me and said, come visit. I need help. And when I arrived there, here's this amazing man of God, preached all over the place, had quite a long life of ministry, supernatural. And when I got there, he's weeping and he's broken. And I said, brother, what's wrong? I mean, he had tubes coming out of him everywhere. But this was his response. He said, I'm scared to die. Now, I want to tell you something. Because we're emotional creatures. Emotions are very, very powerful. Your emotions can turn you like a termite in a yo-yo, completely upside down and around where you don't understand. Where you don't even know which way's up. And so I want to tell you, that's heartbreaking. But I want to tell you, it took better part of a day of me being there, pointing him to Jesus, pointing him to the Word, till he reached up and took hope. But I want to tell you, he did. He reached up and grabbed hope. And it was hours later, but when I left, he was at great peace. And he had joy. And he was actually looking forward to heaven. Now I want to tell you, that's supernatural. That's Jesus. That's the power of the Spirit. That's the power of the Word. That's just Jesus factor. And so I'm just sharing that with you to say, you don't know what's going on inside another person's heart or inside of another person's mind. Because if I were to relate this man's name and to share that story other places, they'd say, no way would he ever be in that kind of a place. Well, I want to tell you, if you wear this stuff right here, it's possible for you to get any kind of situation. Just like the people out there. If we're not standing on the rock. Because unbelief can put a stop sign in the flow of God in your life. And so I'm just sharing with you, there may be a lot of reasons why different people are not healed. Or why that it's not they're not healed in a short basis or a short time period. I don't know. Okay, but you know what? We're learners. I've seen enough to know that I'm going to get up to the line of scrimmage every time, and when the ball's hiked, I'm going full speed. Okay, it's a journey of relating to the Lord. He's our healer. He's a personal Savior. I want to tell you, one of the greatest things for your health, your divine health, your healing, is personal interaction with the healer. That's why that we tell people over and over again, don't seek healing, don't seek health, don't seek wealth, seek Him. And in the process of seeking Him and interacting with Him, the Holy Spirit can personalize your healing journey. The Holy Spirit can move with hope in your heart, that imagination room, and ignite it with faith, because faith comes after hope. And I want to tell you, through faith, through being loved, receiving hope, exercising faith, faith sparked by the Word of God, I want to tell you, all things are possible for those who achieve. No, for those who believe. Aren't you glad? Amen to the Lord on that. But it's a journey of relating and receiving from Him personally, because I want to tell you, we're not cookie cutter Christians. He didn't make us all the same. We got to see, and Dr. Bourne's here today. He's my son. I don't know why you're sitting up here. My son sat here. But I want to tell you, I love him so much. But you know, we got to see God do miraculous things in his life. Amazing restoration, amazing healing, amazing calling that happened in his life. I'm telling you, he's one of those trophies of grace, man. He's a walking miracle. Man, without Jesus, he'd already be in heaven a long time ago. Okay? And I'm just sharing with you how beautiful it is. But see, the way that the Lord worked with Dr. Boren over here, he may work with you in a completely different cycle. In a completely different way. And so we can't take the same cycle that he worked with Brother Justin here and say, this is the only way that God does restoration and healing. No, he's a personal Lord. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal healer. But I'm telling you, it's your personal walk with him where he enlightens your steps in the journey. Do you see that? And so that's why we tell people, we don't put out a book and say, these three steps and you're healed. No, man. No, we tell you, get close to his heart. Get to know him. Respond to him. Recognize him. Receive him. Respond to him. Those three R's, and let the Lord birth forth your healing journey, or your provision journey, or your restoration journey, because you know what? He's our direction. So why no healing? Well, I can just tell you, fallen world, imperfect world, Adam's sin, that divine sentence was of corruption that came on all humans, the human race. And I want to tell you, there's a principle, a law put in by God, in the Word of God that's in on this earth. And it goes like this: we reap what we sow. That's an important factor there somewhere. Okay? You can't deny that. Now, let me give you some hope on top of that, because this is part of the finished works. Is that, you know what? That reaping what you sow is a parallel truth. It goes north and south. It goes toward God or it goes toward destruction. And so I want to tell you, you can change direction in that parallel truth anytime by repentance and ignition of the faith of Jesus. You can change direction and you can begin to sow into your own future. And you know what? I want to tell you, when you practice by grace through faith, reversing the curse, then I want to tell you, you've got a lot of amazing fruit to look forward to. Because when you sow into the kingdom of God, when you sow life, what are you going to receive? When you sow hope, what are you going to receive? When you sow faith, what are you going to receive? When you sow love, what are you going to receive? Well, I'm telling you, you're determining your own destiny by your present day walk with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? I want to tell you, that's why every life, any life can turn around. I want to tell you, as much of a mess as we find ourselves in, when you turn to God, He can take whatever situation, whatever circumstance that the enemy's entrapped you in, because He's your rescue. I want to tell you, He can take any event and circumstance that enemy's put in your life, and when you submit it, and when you surrender to Him, and when you start walking in His purpose, He can work it out for your good and His glory. That's how powerful He is. He's the Almighty God behind the scenes that's working, chasing you down, according to Psalm 23, chasing you down every day with His loving kindness and goodness. That is our rescue God. That's the Jesus factor. And that's why we're excited. That's why the DFW needs to know. They need to know this Jesus. Don't go promoting your pastor. Boy, they'll be disappointed. Okay? You go promoting Jesus. You go promoting the beautiful body of Christ, the love factor, the truth factor, the restoration factor. You brag on Jesus about the trophies of grace that the Lord has done. And you know what? They'll be attracted to Jesus. Amen. By Jesus, we can reverse the curse. By grace through faith, it's a journey. We walk by faith. I'm announcing to you, the enemy loves to pollute anything that God's done. He loves to pollute. And he's busy doing this. I call it the three D's. Deception. Okay. Distraction. How about this? Depression. Man, those three D's cover a lot of ground. And that's the way the enemy comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, his grace is more powerful than any sin. His grace is more powerful than any curse. I want to tell you, his grace, five times it's mentioned in one chapter in Scripture, five times it says more than, more than, more than. Well, we need to believe the more than. Part of the problem with church life is a lot of churches believe that sin is greater than grace. And we just wrap it up, well, that's done. That's done. We've had some leaders fall in the Metroplex. Well, they're done. Well, man, don't you dare give up on God. He didn't give up on you. Don't be quick to give up on anybody else. You say, well, look at what they did. Well, look at what you did. I told a group of pastors that was wanting to stone somebody with Bibles one time. I told them, I said, let me tell you the difference between this guy and you. And then everything got quiet. I said, he got caught and you didn't. Well, things got kind of quiet. But what I then shared with them is that Galatians 6:1. Those of you that are spiritual, any material in the building, anybody that's got a walk with the love of Jesus, any spiritual heartbeat people, then our desire is to restore, not to stone with Bibles, not revenge, not to punish. If you're out here wanting to punish people, throw up on people, punish people, for doing wrong, then you're going against the Spirit of Christ. Because, man, as much as we love John 3:16, everybody ought to have John 3:17 memorized. He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to punish. He's a Savior. He came to save. Boy, you needed saving. People that fall need saving. Let me tell you a secret. You still need saving. You still need a Savior. And so let's restore one another as gently as we can, hard as we have to, as gently with the Spirit considering ourselves. You better watch it. You better watch out. And the very purpose and plan of restoring someone, you can exalt yourself to a place that, you know what? It goes from restoration to judging. I want to tell you, there's something wrong. I understand the world culture. They've got an appetite for negative news. That's why all the news channels, man, you try to look through your TV and see all the news channels. Why? They're all negative news. Why? Because there's an amazing appetite. Man, on your personal technology, man, there's so much negativism. So much criticism. Everybody's a judge. Everybody's got to voice their opinion. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord had to make it real clear to me one time years ago, I don't want your opinion. I want you to relate my truth. Amen. That's why I called you. I didn't call you to have an opinion. I called you to speak my truth. And sometimes I get calls, man. I remember getting a call from a radio station said, we would like your comment, your opinion. And I said, I don't want to. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm going to talk about Jesus. They said, no, we want you to talk about this problem over here. And I said, no, I don't have an opinion. But everybody got an opinion. Everybody got to be a judge. I understand that out there in world culture. There is no room for that in the church. Beloved, let us love one another. I want to tell you, that's what Jesus does. Man, I think I'm out of time, and I'm not through with my intro. Okay. Let me tell you one more thing. You know, I like to say one more thing. Let me tell you one more thing, and we may have intro part three. Oh, my. I wanted to finish that. So you know about the thief. The thief's a liar. The three D's. Deception's one of them. I'll just tell you this right quick. It's 1 Peter 5:8. Be well balanced. You got to be well balanced. You got to be sober-minded. I want to tell you one of the key things about being sober-minded is that you get your focus off you and could you get your focus on Jesus. You go from the desire of your life to be celebrated, recognized, applauded, saluted, well thought of. You go from self-promotion to Savior promotion. To be sober-minded means to be Christ-focused and not you-focused. I'm just telling you up front, this desire, this craving to be important, to be celebrated, I want to tell you, that's connected to flesh. That's not the spirit. Can I just tell you real quick, because there's a sermon working on me about this. When Jesus was on earth, he did not promote himself. He promoted Father. Can I tell you something? When Jesus left, Holy Spirit came. Holy Spirit does not promote himself. Not even for recognition. He promotes Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jesus, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit came. Here we are. Our role on this earth is not to promote ourselves. Our role in this world is not to celebrate self. Not to self-promotion or focus. It's to present and celebrate Jesus and Jesus alone. There will come a day in heaven where you'll be celebrated for every single work you ever did for Jesus, big or little. Even given a cup of water, you are going to be celebrated. And Jesus has a way of celebrating us right here. But you let Jesus do it, don't you do it. Now, if we practice that, we liberate the Holy Spirit to do all He wants to do. Because I'm announcing to you, this is why that I tiptoe around celebration. I tiptoe around it. It's great for us to celebrate what Christ does. But let's make sure it's Jesus and all about Jesus and don't put anybody's name or picture on it. I tiptoe around that because I want to tell you, you start stealing glory from the Lord, you shut down the move of God in your life. Hey, sin doesn't stop revival. The devil doesn't stop revival. You know what stopped every major move of God? Self-promotion. It comes where a committee wants to control it, wants to take credit for it. Man wants to start putting his picture up on it, calling it his name, his revival. God doesn't cooperate with that. That quenches the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just telling you, if you have this desire and drive in you, nobody clapped for me and I'm not appreciated like I should and they need to honor me. Well, I want to tell you what that is. That's flesh. And I want to announce something to you. It stinks. Boy, I'm getting so many amens, it's hard to stop. But I want to tell you what it does. It quenches the Holy Spirit. If we were to make sure that Jesus and Jesus alone. That's why we, even in your testimonies, we tell you, get past the junk and talk about what Jesus has done. And don't you dare claim credit for it. Man, when a believer experiences some victory and some deliverance and some when God raises up a person and then all of a sudden you hear him say, well, the reason God used me was because The reason I'm such a gift from God to this world. Boy, I want to tell you, it's done, man. The devil says, let's just put a bow on it. We didn't have to do anything. He did it himself. I'm trying to make you smile, but trying to tell you, be sober-minded. Be on the alert. It doesn't mean be scared. It means be on the alert. Okay? Watch out. Because every sin has got a self-definition to it somewhere. Cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, like a lion roaring. Now, he's really not a lion. He's a liar. It says like a lion. He puts on a lion suit. And he runs around with a lion voice, seeking whom to seize upon and devour. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for a victim. Lions don't look for the strong. They don't want to mess with the strong. They might get hurt. You know what lion's looking for? I'm looking for the sick. I'm looking for the weak. Wait a minute. Remember the three D's? I'm looking for those who are deceived that think everything's just fine and the spiritual life really don't matter. I can just take a break for a while. Because you know what? That leads to isolation. And I tell you what lions are looking for. They're looking for the weak. They're looking for the deceived. They're looking for the distracted. They're looking at those that are saying, oh man, this little clump of grass is just for me. I'm just all about me right here. And the next thing you know, they're pounced upon. You know what he's looking for? Victims. Victims. I want to tell you what gave me insight into this scripture. Do we have Proverbs 20, verse 2? Is that a yes? Oh, there it is. Look here. See, this is what clicked with me. I'm reading through Proverbs, and this is what I saw. The terror of a king is as a roaring lion. Whoever provokes him to anger and angers himself against him sins against his own life. Now, I want to tell you what I saw. Here's the liar, the lying lion, the liar who's pretending to be a lion. He's pretending to be the king. He's pretending to be the voice of the king, condemning you. Telling you how bad you are, how wicked you are, how sorry you are, how worthless you are, how disappointed, and what a disappointment you are. And he's promoting himself like the voice of the king. Because this is what people do when they're under condemnation, the lie of condemnation. They believe the Lord's mad at them. They believe the Lord's so disappointed in them. The Lord's angry at them. The Lord's wrath is coming upon their life. So I'm not going to run to God. I'm going to run away from Him. Anybody see? Well, that's deception. Leads to distraction. Leads to depression. That's what the enemy pretends to be. So Satan's looking for victims. So what do we do? Well, God's given you an amazing immune system. I'll talk about this a little bit next week, I hope. An amazing immune system in your body. If you ignore and purposefully, stupidly weaken your immune system, you're setting yourself up as a victim. Wait, 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 wait. I'm not a doctor or a son of a doctor. I'm making a point. You have a spiritual immune system. When you're sober, when you're balanced, sober-minded, you're vigilant, cautious at all times, you practice being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There's an immune system, a spiritual immune system that comes on that absolutely will make you ready to raise up the shield of faith so that the fiery darts from the enemy bounce off and don't even hit you. When you are affected, you recover faster. You are attacked, but the attack has less effect, less often. Do you see this? This is what we're believing for. Not perfection, direction. And when we do have financial need, have a physical need, have an emotional need, we respond with the love of Jesus, compassion. Passion for Jesus brings compassion to people. And we help one another. That's what happens, okay? Man, Wednesday night, before the meeting started, I'm walking through the house and Patrick points out, man, there's blood all over the floor. Well, who's bleeding? I said, I don't know. Well, after a little investigation, they found out it was me. Man, I'm bleeding, man. Hey, I want to tell you what happened. That part of the body of Christ helped this part of the body of Christ. Recognition. Okay? They received me, didn't run from me. They helped me. They responded to me by faith. Faith has works behind it, or is not real faith. And I want to tell you something, I was helped. You know the picture I got as I'm walking out to minister to the teens? That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. Man, hey, when you get wounded, when you get hurt, when you get sick, the body of Christ is supposed to come alongside. The body helps the body. How many times have you been wounded or hurt in a particular part of your body and the rest of your body compensates for it? That's a picture of the body of Christ. That's what love does. Matter of fact, in ball is one of the things that they look for. If you get injured, you get hurt, and you continue to play, they want to watch to see if you begin to injure or hurt other parts of your body, because the body's designed itself to compensate for a wound or a hurt to the place where it will hurt itself in another area. I don't know if you understand that. But see, that's where we practice as a body, being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the spiritual immune system that we're to have, because He's our divine shield. He's our divine health. That's bigger than healing. Don't you want that? Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for Your love. Thank You for Your power. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that in our weakness, we confess our weakness. We know Your strength. And so, Lord, we know and recognize how imperfect we are. That this is an imperfect pastor, imperfect leadership team, imperfect church. But Lord, You're our head. You're the groom. You're the one that cleanses the bride. You're the one that restores the bride. You're the one that renews us and restores us and refreshes us. You're the one that causes us to be strong in You. Lord Jesus, we call upon Your name and Your power, that Your love will cause us to walk in oneness and unity and be health, divine health to one another, spiritually, physically. Lord Jesus, that we can walk in the prosperity of the kingdom, not just for us, but for all of those in the DFW area that need You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that we have a big God. We have a big vision because of Your big love for us. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen and amen.